Welcome back to Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And this is Jeff Ellis for July 15th, 2008. Good evening.
Good evening. This is episode 2.03, where today Mike Nazarek of Fantasy Football Mastermind joins us to talk running backs.
You realize it's our anniversary with Michael, don't you?
That's right. It is 1 year since we've partnered up with Fantasy Football Mastermind.
And I strongly believe that the show is much better for it.
And you will see when we get him on the show, I'm going to throw down with him, dog.
Steven and Naz have a go. They have a go.
Not that big of a go. But
they have a go, and I have a rant.
That yes, Jeffrey, out of nowhere.
It just came out. It comes out.
That's what happens on Fantasy Football Rants and Raves, coming up in a moment.
Championship.
Bringing fantasy football to the world. It's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with Fantasy Football Rants and Raves.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I want to draft right now.
Go for it. You can go on ESPN.com and do it right now.
That's fake drafting. I want to draft. Oh, I want to draft.
You're done mocking.
Oh, yeah. I want my team right now.
Okay. Well, I went
out. This is the team I want. LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson.
Oh, that it were that
simple. Terrell Owens, Randy Moss. Tony Romo, Jason Witten,
and give me a good kicker.
Yeah, I'll take the Cowboys kicker. He was pretty good for a rookie last year.
And for my defense,
give me the Chargers. Bears. Okay, I'll take the Bears.
Okay. Chargers actually had the number one defense, I believe.
They did. I'll take the Chargers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And pretty much, if you get that team, congratulations. You got a Super Bowl, people. And you can truly proclaim.
Championship.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen, by the way.
So that's what's going to happen. I'm going to walk into my draft this year, and I'm going to say, this is my team. Just give it to me, or I'm not playing.
And they'll say, here's the door. Don't let it hit you in the arch on the way out.
Here's your money back. Get out of here, you freak of nature.
Thanks for coming, knucklehead.
Oh, man, so we're going to talk to Naz. We're not even going to do news. We're going to talk news with Naz.
We'll get a little news in there with Naz. If you want to hear about Brett Favre, tune in tomorrow.
Yeah, tune in tomorrow, the NFL show.
We'll go through all that nonsense.
We'll talk about the hoopla, and now he's tempted to call their bluff and show up to camp.
Dun, dun, dun.
What are they going to do now?
He doesn't even have a locker. It's in his house. Is he going to bring in his pickup truck? Remember it was a shrine? It was like some memorial or something? Anyways, we'll get to that tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
We got a funny little bit coming tomorrow, by the way, with Frank Caliendo.
Oh, Caliendo just, doing his Madden stuff.
Man, he does that better than anybody I know.
Than Madden?
He does it better than Madden.
I was like, better than anyone you know? Do you know many people who go around doing Madden?
Yeah, I mean, I do.
Okay, there you go.
Boom!
So, interesting list. Let's get to it, Jeffrey.
All right.
Let's bring him in.
The Mastermind Edge.
Joining us again, Henderson, Nevada, Mike Nazarek.
Nazarek. Wreck? Like he's a car wreck.
Are you a car wreck?
No, he's not a car wreck. How's it going, Mike?
It's going great, guys. How's it going there?
Did you feel a little cursed, like maybe you're getting a car wreck now?
Why? Why would you do that to the poor man?
You're the one who brought it up.
That's just what his name sounds like. Nazarek, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, they used to say about my dad because he spent some time at Georgia Tech, rambling wreck from Georgia Tech. Yeah,
the rambling wreck from Georgia Tech. I like that. That's pretty good
stuff. So today, Naz, we've brought you in to talk running backs, and fantasy football. I am pumped because you and I we're gonna have a go, buddy.
Oh man. It's going to be a smackdown.
Hey, which Dallas Cowboy player have I slided this week?
Okay, the translation for those who didn't hear the Skype wobble. What Dallas Cowboy player did I diss this week? That's essentially what Mike said.
Yeah, that's a good one, Mike. No, we got some good stuff. But first, Jeffrey, we're going to talk about some recent running back news. And let's start in Chicago.
Okay. Dub Bears.
What in the world are they thinking? Why are they taking leftover scraps from the Lions?
Well, you know what? When a lion is done with something, my experience is whatever's left over is bones.
There you go. Naz, let's talk about that signing.
Well, that's right. Whatever a line doesn't want or whatever, yeah, the bear gets hold of it.
Kevin
right?
Jones? Talk yeah. to me.
Kevin
Talk
Jones, when healthy, is a pretty good back.
That's and, why they're paying him $605,000?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, he wants an opportunity, the best situation for him so he can make an impact and showcase his skills, whether it means another contract as a Bear next year or to sign possibly a multi-year deal with another team out there that needs a back. The guy's still young. He's just been injury bit. He's got, you know, coming off the torn ACL and all, but when you compare him to guys like Sean Alexander and Travis Henry, who I think we'll talk about in a little bit, has been doing something else on the side, but Kevin Jones looks very good.
Smoking.
Sorry, couldn't resist.
I think it was a little preview of it, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was.
So Nas, here's my question. Obviously, when the Bears cut Cedric Benson during the offseason because of his run-ins with the police, that really pretty much just left their second-round draft choice, Matt Forte, there in the backfield. So does Kevin Jones automatically come in and possibly get a starting job here in Chicago?
No. The Bears are firmly behind Matt Forte. They've installed him as the starter. He's looked good in the mini camp so far. We'll see what happens when training camps open. But they're basically bringing in Kevin Jones as an insurance policy. They need another back because Adrian Peterson is a good third down back, and he can be used spot play here and there sometimes on first and second down, but he's not an everyday back. So basically you a lot of these teams need a veteran presence behind their younger players, and in case something happens with the younger players, didn't catch on, or he has, you know, a bad blocking and passing downs, or just, you know, struggles early on, that they got a veteran presence to come in and contribute in a meaningful way almost immediately. The problem with Kevin Jones, though, is he's not quite fully healed from the torn ACL, and there's talk that the Bears are probably going to end up putting him on the PUP list and he'll miss the first 6 weeks of play.
Okay, now my question is, Michael, you have the Bears, Adrian Peterson, as 46th. On your running back
the
list
Bears.
In the eighth department, and that eighth department is starting to scrape the bottom of the barrel. Am I misrepresenting you?
You're talking about tier eight.
Well, not really. I mean,
eighth tier running back.
If you look at this, of course, we're going to talk about this too, the running back by committee approach in the league.
Are.
There are very few backs that get over 350 carries anymore in the league. And Adrian Peterson's role in this offense is not really going to be affected by the presence of Kevin Jones on the team. He's still going to be playing third down. He'll be used to also keep Matt Forte fresh. And, you know, much in a role that that Leon Washington is with the Jets behind Thomas Jones there. I don't see him losing many touches, if any at all, because of Kevin Jones' presence, even if he's healthy.
But I'm just, my question is, how relevant is he if he comes in line after your 46th overall running back? I mean, is this somebody we should even be talking about?
It kind of depends on the scoring rules here, because Peterson catches a lot of passes on third down there, so he might have some value as a depth pick
in a PPR league. Right. Okay, but beyond that, it is questionable, and it is reasonable that he's only making $600,000. Given the role that he's being asked to play.
He's not going to make that big of a fantasy football impact, especially in a basic scoring system where you're not getting a point per catch.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
That's Kevin Jones being signed by the Chicago Bears to a one-year contract. So I'm just saying, Chicago, how you looking? You don't really know who your quarterback is. Grossman Orton, you don't really know who your running back is. Forte, Jones, Peterson, all kind of going to be battling for carry.
You lost wide receiver.
That wasn't really that good to begin with. Offensively. All right, let's move
but
on.
But you know what? They may win a lot of games 7-0.
And let's go to the Big Apple, where the last year's rookie, second-year guy, Ahmad Bradshaw. Talk to us about him,
yeah,
please.
How did this happen? Where did this come from?
Yeah, all of a sudden, well, I hear he was released from jail. Hello?
Yes, he was released from jail. This goes back to his college days where he had a little run-in with the law, and he got a suspended sentence, and it was all kind of it was known, but it was kind of put on the hush-hush side because everybody thought that, you know, he was a year or two removed from the situation, and I believe that he had, you know, basically if he kept his nose clean, he wouldn't be heading back to jail, and Now, something happened here in the off season. We don't know what it is. No one's talked about anything about this, but the NFL's looking into it. He violated his probation and went to jail for 30 days. And what was kind of funny about this is that no one knew he was in jail for almost a week. And
he
then we found out, and we're like, what's going on here? I guess he was just, you know, between mini camp and training camp, so that's a good time to serve his 30 days. And he just got out today, and you know, he's all ready to go. But of course, the NFL's looking into it, and he might be suspended a game or two.
He's got a great lawyer. Anybody that is going to work with you at that level, you know, I think we can get you in and out of jail without anybody noticing. I mean, that's a lawyer. That's a good lawyer and a good judge that's somebody you want to work with if you find yourself in trouble.
Days of the internet now with TMZ and everything reporting on,
that's,
you know,
what I mean. That's
anybody,
stunning.
Anybody is going to be, it's amazing. He was in there for almost a week when nobody knew what was going on.
So here's the deal. When he was playing for Marshall, which is the college that he played, his second college, because he was originally recruited by Virginia, but then that team dismissed him because he got arrested for underage drinking and resisting arrest. He went to Marshall.
We are Marshall.
Where he did all right. He rushed for over 3,000 yards and 31 touchdowns.
That's great.
But he had another arrest for allegedly stealing a PlayStation 2 video game.
Well, who hasn't? I mean, I'm stealing PS3s right now. But
there was a case of petite larceny, and he was given the 2 years probation, which apparently he couldn't keep his nose clean, and that's why.
You guys keep saying nose clean, and I keep seeing people cutting up cocaine. I don't know, with a credit card?
Keep your nose clean.
We had that issue this week.
Yes.
Who was it that was caught cutting
Matt Jones.
Coke with a,
but that's a wide receiver.
Credit card? I know,
Matt
okay,
Jones.
But
wide receiver.
Man, I mean.
Hey, you liked this guy for a long time, didn't you, Naz?
Yes, I did.
yes, I did, but no longer, because he was caught in the back of a car with cocaine on a credit card. He's a good old boy. Matt Jones, no longer on the fantasy football wide receiver list produced by Fantasy Football Mastermind. Thank you very much.
I got a question about cocaine in general, having never done it.
I've never done it either.
And we're not going to put Naz on the spot and just and ask. Just don't answer. But, you know,
I've never done cocaine in my life.
Okay, but I'm just saying, you don't have to answer the question if you don't want to incriminate yourself. Be on the record, so none of the three of us have. We're not looking for emails either, us advice. Yeah. But if this stuff is so expensive, why can't they give it to you in its finished form? Why do you have to go to the trouble to go
cut
cut it up and freebase it and light it on fire and add acid to it and then burn yourself up like Richard Pryor did? I mean, why do you have to do? I mean, why can't they just give it to you and you inject it or something?
My question is, couldn't he do this in his multi-million-dollar home with all that security he probably has?
Yeah.
Why does he have to do it in his car?
Outside, in a parking lot somewhere where, geez, come on. Here, Bill Parcells said it best.
We're too stupid.
That's exactly what it was. So we're going to finish up here with the Giants. Bradshaw, you possibly faces NFL suspension, right?
Exactly. But the NFL is going to be looking into this to see if he's violated any kind of league policy rules, and then they might suspend him a game or two.
Okay.
All right. Just a game or two for 30 days of jail and
well, it all depends what he was doing. Okay. I mean, why did he break his parole?
Yeah,
what did he do?
That's what we don't know. How did he get in trouble this time?
That's right.
Okay, so once we find out how he got in trouble,
the commissioner's office will have plenty to say about it once we get all the facts.
All right, well,
finds out that he was in jail.
He did help the Giants, you know, last year in their little Super Bowl run. So that's
You know what, Steven?
What?
I think that's how we should characterize last year. their little Super Bowl run. Is there any more condescending way greatest sports moment in all these guys' histories, lives.
I'm sorry. No, it was a great
win. Super Bowl
I'm sorry,
run.
Naz. You know, I didn't mean to put your team down. It was a great win.
Lucky.
You mean that whole big 100-mile path wide of destruction that my Giants just paved with blue paint over the entire NFL? And
winning four road games in a row.
There you go. There you go.
Unprecedented.
Those weren't cheap wins, dudes.
not
busy.
Not cheap wins at all. Let's talk about ex-Denver Bronco Travis Henry, who has tested positive for a little doobie. There's the smoking again. Naz, please Can we get a message out to these guys? Lay off the drugs, for crying out loud.
But it's fun.
So this guy's done, right? He's toast. We're going to remove him from our fantasy football list.
Please.
Please do not draft Travis Henry, right?
Yeah, he cannot be trusted. You're talking about a guy that, like, you know, for weeks, remember last year, he was, are they going to suspend me? No, no, I'm fighting this because there's a technicality. And he ends up getting off on a technicality. And, you know, they're thinking, oh, and he knows because the team has told him that, you know, this is the final chance, Travis, you know. And then on top of that, they make him take a pay cut and all because he got injured and, you know, he's a risk and all this. And then what does he do? He just ends up doing this and, you know, and then, of course, the Broncos cut him and said that he didn't have the right attitude. And then, of course, we find out that he was tested positive for pot again, and so no wonder he had the wrong attitude. He knew that he was eventually going to get his 1 year suspension. He wasn't going to be on the team anyway. So, you know, I mean,
so that's why he didn't have a good attitude.
I think he'd have a great attitude. I mean, if you're doing the dupes, you know, you're like, hey, how's everybody doing?
Yeah, it don't matter my career's over.
Yeah, they don't really like that laid back attitude in the NFL.
Did you see the sunset last night?
Why are people trying to tackle me, dog? What's up?
Why is your head coming off your shoulders?
So there you go. That's the running back news that we have so far. Travis Henry tested positive for marijuana. Most likely will get suspended for a year from the NFL. And that being said, he's most likely done with his NFL career. Take him off your list. The Chicago Bears added Kevin Jones from the reject from Detroit. Check out our list, Fantasy Football Mastermind, www.ffmastermind.com.
All the news that's fit to report.
And Ahmad Bradshaw and his just getting out of jail. Huh, interesting. Now we're going to go.
Let's talk about the guys that are actually playing on the
yes,
field.
Yes, guys who are playing on the field.
Guys that are going to get you fantasy points.
Before we give you that all-impressive list from the mastermind himself, Naz, I want to ask you a question. The news today, Peyton Manning had his knee. He had an operation on his knee to remove a something, sack, whatever it's called.
He had his sack versus removed? Sack.
Yes, and now he is. That was bad.
I'm not a doctor.
On the back of his knee.
Oh.
And now he's going to miss 4 to 5 weeks, miss the beginning of the training camp. Nothing to fear from the running back front. But what does Joseph Addai and now Dominic Rhodes is back in the mix? What does that do to the Indianapolis Colts with that whole stuff going around?
Well, first of all, it's going to be the Jim Sorgi show for the first couple of weeks of training camp when Manning recovers, but they don't expect this to be a long-term injury recovery, you know.
Not
so
that there's anything
he's
wrong
going to
with
be,
the Jim
Sorgi. He's going to be okay for week one. He knows that offense inside and out, so it's just a matter of them kind of easing him in to practice again. It's actually a good thing that they decided to do this operation now rather than wait until they got into training camp and he starts running around and practicing and it causes a real big problem. And then he has the same surgery, and then they're out 4 to 6 weeks, and it might stretch into the season. So, of course, with Addai and Dominic Rhodes has re-signed after 1 year in Oakland, where he was kind of in limbo. Was he playing? Was he not? Who knows? Anyway, he's healthy. He's going to be taking carries away from Joseph Addai, but Addai is still going to be the workhorse back there. There's a little bit of worry about goal line carries there, but I still like Addai as a top 10 fantasy running back.
Worries
maybe
how?
Not elite top three, but he's still a good one. I mean, the big question entering camp is Marvin Harrison's health, and we won't know if he can run pain-free actual routes until we actually see him do that, and that might not happen right away. So they've got some time to play there.
Now, all you right. said questions about goal line carries. I'm sorry, Stephen. I want
no,
to understand
ahead.
This.
Well, with Dominic Rhodes now back in the mix, my assumption there is that, and what Naz is thinking that we'll have to look at, see how it develops in training camp, is that Rhodes will get some.
Who's going
to
get the goal line carries?
Back. He's okay. A bigger bruiser, right? Is that what you're thinking, Naz?
Yeah, I'm thinking when they're right on the goal line there, and especially if Addai has really powered the ball to get down to the one, And, you know, I would not put it past Tony Dungy to pull him out and putting Rhodes in there just to get the 1 yard score. Remember, this would be the 1 yard sneak by Peyton Manning. And of course, now with the knee, it's at least early in the year, they might not want to run him as often as they have in the past.
And we all know what a scrambler he is to begin with.
Yeah, what? He had 4 TDs and -8 rushing yards.
But until this past year, he really wasn't a scorer, you know. One of the reasons why they started using him, that's because they didn't really have that much confidence in Kenton Keith and the other guys in the backfield there. Now they've got Dominic Rhodes back, so they're not going to hesitate to whenever a guy's just coming off a long run and needs a breather. They'll put Dominic Rhodes right in there. And Tony Dungy doesn't care who scores as long as they get the score on this.
Right. Okay, now, right. Guys, now this begs a bigger question to me.
Well,
that is the RBBC that everybody fears, hates.
By committee.
That's right. And it seems to be obviously, I mean, it's right up there with global warming deniers, people who try and deny the running back by committee isn't taking the league by storm.
Well,
okay, is that safe to say?
Because global warming isn't taking the world by storm, Jim.
Well, it actually is.
Well, there you go. But you deny it.
It's taking the world by storm. But that's not my point is not politics. It's simply, look, this is something that everybody seems to be in agreement is happening. Do we all agree that the running back by committee is clearly the direction that the league is moving in general?
It's kind of a mixed bag, I think. I mean, in some ways it is, but there are always going to be teams out there that favor just one running back. I mean, you got San Diego and Washington, and now I think Minnesota's becoming one back there. I mean, you got Chester Taylor back there, but I think you're going to see most of Adrian Peterson. I think in this regards for fantasy football, it makes getting at least one, if not two, of the top 12 running backs imperative. Got to get at least two of those running backs in the top 12, and I think because when you fall down later in the draft, around third or fourth or fifth round, the guys that you're normally looking at for that third running back, they're going to be running back by committee guys, mm-hmm. and you don't want those guys on your team and not in a starting role, especially if you're going to have to start at least two running backs, if not a third one, if you're in a flex system. So, in a way, running back by committee has made it tougher, but it's also brought out the number one rule that you really have to get at least one, if not two, of those top 12 guys.
All right. How do you get two when you're in a 12-team league?
Well, you don't.
Usually it really depends where you're drafting. If you're drafting towards the end of the round, you're going to get guys that are going to draft Tom Brady, maybe Peyton Manning, Randy Moss, and so... These guys are right around number 12, Marshawn Lynch, Ryan Grant, Jamal Lewis, Willis McGahee. Those kind of guys are probably going to be there, and you're going to end up grabbing them early in the second round. If you're drafting early, you're going to have to adjust your draft strategy because the top 15 running backs are going to be off the board.
Exactly.
So you're probably going to have to end up drafting a wide receiver there.
I got Brian Westbrook, but by the time it comes back around to me, I'm looking at Selvin Young and Fred Taylor, Julius Jones. I mean, come on. They're in your sixth tier.
Yeah.
Am I screwed?
Hopefully it's not going to be down that. But you're probably looking at a Garen James or Darren McFadden or maybe Reggie Bush, not in a PPR league, Thomas Jones, guys like that.
Okay. I got a question. And so who's your rookie to look out for this year that made it highest on your list?
It's got to be McFadden.
Well, it's McFadden because of his explosiveness. And he's now in a system. Of course, you know, the Raiders used to be known for passing the football, but all those guys have retired. Tim Brown and Rich Gannon and all him, Jerry Rice, are all gone. And they've got a young quarterback, Jamarcus Russell, so they're going to be looking to power the ball. It's going to be a run-oriented team. And they re-signed Justin Fargus. They've got Michael Bush coming off of the injury, the second year man, so they're going to want to see what he can do. And they're just going to give a lot of carries. And they're also going to throw to McFadden out of the backfield. So he's very explosive. I think he's going to have a pretty good year. I've got him conservatively right now, number 18. I want to see how he performs in training camp and how he looks on the field in preseason. And but I can see him climbing there. I don't think he'll make my top 10, but he could end up in the top 15 by the end of the preseason.
Hey, top 20 is nothing to be, you know.
Did you move him up? Because last I saw you had him at 18.
I've got him at 18 right now.
Yeah.
He's a little bit higher for me. He is my Adrian Peterson from last year. Last year, round one, I had the number one pick. I took LT, obviously, with number one. When it came back to me on the snake, I took wide receiver. I went T.O. and Reggie Wayne. So I was looking pretty good. And then in the fourth round, I took a flyer and I took Adrian Peterson. So most of the season, I had Peterson, LT, Owens, and Reggie Wayne. And I just killed
people. That's pretty tough to lose.
Killed people. I loved it.
Boy.
And this year, Darren McFadden's going to be that guy where people are just going to, he's a rookie. I don't want to grab him. I'll grab him in the fourth round.
You guys keep bringing up questions that I have and rants, frankly.
Yeah. Oh, it's a rant now.
It's rant time. I'm going to rant.
Oh, he's ranting.
I'm sorry. It's time. Here it is. I'm ranting on people looking in retrospect for something that happened in retrospect. Okay, I'm looking for people looking back in the mirror for something that's going to happen in the future. Okay?
You think you're looking at a deja vu moment, right?
Well, these where people just... Now
I
you're stepping
a hot
on
running
me.
Back, and all of a sudden I'm going to draft this other hot rookie running back, and the same thing's going to happen, right?
Everyone wants to know, who's the next Adrian Peterson? Well, you know what? There wasn't an Adrian Peterson until Adrian Peterson came along. I mean, there really wasn't. There wasn't a rookie to come on the scene to get half the carries in a season and come in. What was he, second in the NFL or first in rushes last year?
Rushing yards, you mean?
Yeah.
He was... up there.
Okay, he was first or second, and he carried. He
I don't
shared
think he was first.
Yeah, he was. He
but he shared first. The load. Okay.
Yeah.
He didn't and it's share like the load. So. Everyone wants to.
Games.
And everybody wants to know. Yeah, he was hurt and he missed a couple games. Everyone wants to know. So who's the next guy? Like, there's a guy every year like that, and there's not.
There's not a guy like that every year, but I'm telling you, Darren McFadden's got special talent and ability. If there's anyone close enough to be like Adrian Peterson, it would be Darren McFadden.
Yeah, but Peterson...
That's why you're getting the talk on that right now.
And okay. Here's the deal. But Adrian Peterson...
You're right. In fact, most years, there's not going to be another Adrian Peterson, because who was Adrian Peterson before Adrian Peterson?
That's there my
was,
question.
What was the last time a rookie came in and had Garen James, right?
Reggie Bush.
No, that didn't happen.
I don't think that was anywhere close.
No.
It was. I'm being sarcastic. There hasn't been one.
No, there
in
not
a
for
long
a while.
Time.
Adrian James came in and had a very impressive rookie season.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
When he came with the Colts.
8 years ago?
Something like that.
Yeah. Long time.
Adrian Peterson was second in rushing yards last year, 1341. Second only to LT, but you got to remember
and he shared carries.
He shared a lot of. He split a lot of time.
And he
didn't
two
start,
games.
And he missed a couple games. Yeah, so it was very impressive what Adrian Peterson
did. He had a
did.
Lot of long runs too. That,
he did.
That helped.
Yeah, a lot
of generally
runs.
With running backs, you want them to run a long way.
He wanted to run.
Remember that game against the San Diego Chargers too? When he had 300 yards.
Oh, dude, don't bring
that
up.
He broke the record.
Don't bring that game up.
Yeah.
That breaks my heart.
Why did it break your heart? That was impressive.
No, it was, but I still like the Chargers. Come on.
Yeah, you know,
the Chargers were the top defense in fantasy terms last year in a lot of leagues.
They gave up 296 yards.
That was disgusting.
Yeah, they were not good that day.
But again, is it because Adrian Peterson is who he is, or is it because they were bad on that single day? We don't.
296.
Well, I think a lot of it was because it was Adrian Peterson.
296 yards, 3 TDs, average 9.9 yards per.
I tell you guys, I feel like I owe you guys money for just letting me get that rant out of my system.
I'm glad you
thank
got
you.
It out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I owe you about 20 bucks.
The check table, the mastermind services.
Look, I already paid you, Holmes.
All right.
Speaking of Holmes, you want to plug your codes?
Yeah, let's do that.
Plug your codes.
And then we'll get to the running back list.
I'll
right
let you
after.
Do the shameless plug right in the middle.
Why not?
Right in the middle.
Since you said to give you money, and I said I already have.
Let's you know,
shameless plug.
That's how much we believe in Fantasy Football Mastermind.
We buy
folks.
The product.
There you go.
That's your intro there.
Yeah. Yes,
you stepped in right there.
Well, you're frisky tonight. Okay.
Oh, you have no idea.
We got the second version of our draft guide coming up for release this Friday. We're adding many more articles. We're overhauling the rankings that we've been talking about here. We'll come up on. Well, of course, one of the changes immediately right now is Kevin Jones added to the rankings. A lot of other things going on, but you know, it's been a year that I've been talking with these guys on the podcast. I can't believe it's already been a year. We started last
Happy anniversary.
July
13th. Yeah.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, guys. And so technically maybe not to mark that occasion, but you know, to really, I really want the people out there listening to take a look at our website, because I think that we can really help you, whether you buy or not. You know, I mean, obviously, I do this for a living, and I'd love for, you know, for people out there to buy. But, you know, if you're thinking about it, we have some nice, couple of nice discount codes here, 12%. We've been online for 12 years. This is our 13th year. And so the codes for our two most popular packages, Super Bowl package, which includes all of our services, and the Pro Bowl package, which includes everything except the extra really rookie madness draft kit that Perry Burr is so good at doing. The codes are F for fantasy, RR for R&R, and PB for Pro Bowl, or SB for Super Bowl. So if you go to the website, ffmastermind.com, and you click on the order form, fill it all out, there'll be a place for a discount code. If you choose Super Bowl package and you put in the code FRRSB, you'll get 12% off. And, you know, it's just our little way to try and get you an introduction into the site. And we want to prove to everyone that we can help everybody win their championship. And, you know, it's a great game. It's, you know, it's my life. And, you know, I like doing the podcast, and I like helping people out. So
okay, now
okay, I think that's enough for the plug. So we can move on.
It's enough for the plug, but it's not enough. I need to make fun of you. So okay. the F was for fantasy football,
yeah.
And the R and R were for R&R.
RR, rants and raves.
Right, but the letter R was for the letter R.
No, two R's.
Right, but they were for the letter R. So usually most people put a word when they're saying R as in rags, R as in rosemary.
He is feisty today. Let's let it go.
Now, wait a minute. Now, I've got to praise your site.
FRRPB and FRRSB for the Super Bowl and
so
Pro Bowl.
F package. As in fantasy, R as in R. Now, Mike, I got to give you this. You still there?
Yes.
Okay, because Mike's dropped out a couple times on our Skype connection. This, again, to praise your site, something new this year that you've added that I absolutely ate up. Where is it? Right about here. Players in their contract year.
Oh, yeah.
How's that for a great article written by Michael Nazarak? And I read the whole article, and it's got guys now on my radar in different ways. Knowing everybody knows that you play a little bit harder when there's bling attached,
bling,
and
bling.
He's got a whole. It's all broken down by player and their ability to make a significant impact and maybe even improve their numbers because they're in a contract year. So again, more of the great information that's out there on the website. Thanks, Mike. Love
well,
it.
I appreciate it, and you know, I just aim to please here. I got a couple subscribers actually mentioned it to me a couple of weeks ago, and I planned on doing that article in early
have.
August, and then I said, well, wait a minute, I should go ahead and do this now before training camp start. And so, you know, we broke down the players by categories, restricted, unrestricted, and then on most of the major ones, I gave my 2 cents on you know, whether I thought that. Them being in a contract year is really going to motivate them to do well this year if they're in a situation really to help them out, or you know, if they're trying to overcome an injury. You know, you got Roydell Williams down there in Tennessee, and he's having so much trouble coming off with the ankle injury, and Justin McCarron's is really impressed, and it's going to be tough for Williams to get on the field and be in a meaningful role in order for him to produce to, you know, get a decent contract next year. That's just one of the guys I talk about in the article, and I think it's good to have this type of information before you head into a draft. So if you're on a fence about whether you should draft maybe this guy or this guy, well, maybe if you know that one of them is in the last year of his contract, that he has a little bit more motivation, maybe you know might want to lean towards him.
It's huge. I love it. So thanks.
All right.
Now let's get back to business.
Let's get to the running backs list. We're going to start off, obviously, with everyone's number one, probably the number one player to be taken overall,
if
in many drafts,
anyone else, you have either foreknowledge or you're stupid. Shall we say this?
LaDainian Tomlinson.
There you go.
I don't know.
He's not on the cover of Madden. By the way, with the Brett Favre thing that we're not talking about that much,
yeah.
Wouldn't it be ironic? Jordan brought this up. If he came back and got hurt in the first game because he's on the cover of Madden.
Well,
that's one reason for him to stay retired at least another year.
Stay retired, Brett.
Anyways,
stay retired.
Stay retired.
Madden curse.
Go fishing.
Here's my deal. I believe you've got LaDainian Tomlinson as your only player in your first tier, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think Adrian Peterson and what the Minnesota Vikings have done without offensive line, even though with the shaky Tavares Jackson, the quarterback, I think Adrian Peterson has come up to that level in my eyes, and I have him as a first-tier guy. I think he'll get over 300 points this year in fantasy football.
He ain't no LT.
Well, you might be right. And why did I put him in the second tier is because of his injury.
Okay.
He's got the knee there, and he has not proven that he can last 16 games. But the simple fact is that he hasn't been given a chance to start all 16 games, and well, this might be a moot point by the end of the season. So, you know, I'm not saying that Tomlinson's way, way, way out ahead. You know, I just like to go with the safe guy, the guy that you know that is proven. Although, of course, you know, Tomlinson's coming off the MCL. You know, so but I've got confidence that he's going to last the whole year and produce. And
yeah, I'm just saying, if I got the number two pick, I got absolutely no problem taking Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, well, and that being said, in the number three hole, Steven Jackson is in a contract year.
Yes,
he is.
So he is playing for his financial life.
But this Steven Jackson, he killed me last year. Killed me.
But again, different set of circumstances.
Yep.
We all remember what Edge did his last season. I mean, where he actually did anything
last
worthwhile
before big
before yeah. the bling and post bling. You know, it's not much. So
you're saying Steven Jackson contract year, looking at the bling bling.
I like him up there real high as well.
All right.
Oh, I like him. I mean, if I was drafting fourth or fifth and he fell to me, I would be
all over it.
I'd be praising the Lord because this is a man that's got the talent to be number one overall. Okay, a couple of things have to happen here. The Rams have to stay healthy. The offensive line, Bulger, and Jackson all have to stay healthy. And they have to play to their ability. And if they can very easily do this, because they're in a division there that's kind of got questionable talent, you know, and in Arizona and San Francisco with defenses, and even Seattle can be, you know, tested on time, especially on the road. I wouldn't be surprised if Steven Jackson scores 15, 20 times. I mean, he could even top 20 times if he stays healthy.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
Well, you know what else is interesting? Check this out. So your top five guys, I'm going to rattle them off in order. LT, Adrian Peterson, Steven Jackson, Brian Westbrook, Joseph Addai. I see injuries in all five of your top guys.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's gotten to the point where all the stud running backs have been, they've pretty much all been around or they've experienced some kind of injury situation, and that just comes along with playing in the NFL.
With playing sports, period.
That's why there's your number six guy from Dallas.
Here come. I'm going to take a break now.
Hey,
Ellis is going to watch. I'm going to go watch the All-Star game. You guys go at it right now.
All I'm saying is I thank you for having that high, because when I made my list and I had him at five, I just knew what everybody was going to say. Like, Steven's got Mary
Steven's
Barber
a homer.
What is he talking about? But you got him at six, so that means that I don't got him that high.
Which means you feel vindicated.
I've talked to other experts, and they don't even have them as high as I do at six. A lot of people kind of hesitant about that because he hasn't shown 5 years worth of, you know. But the guy is, like you say, I wouldn't say I've got a man crush on him, but boy, I tell you, when he runs so hard. He's got to watch it now with the stiff arm. You know, they made the rule now, so he could get penalized for doing that kind of thing. But I've never seen a guy run that hard and effective. And he should have been starting a long time ago for Dallas. He is going to be gold around the goal line. I mean, he's already has been. But there's another guy that has the possibility to score upwards of 20 times.
Yeah.
Now, because he runs so hard, he might be, you know, he might be prone to a little bit of injury. Fortunately, he hasn't yet in his career, and that's why I rank him up there high, because I'm not going to assume that, well, he's due for an injury.
He hurts
people. I don't like other people that do that either.
He hurts people. He does not get hurt.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. He's one of those guys that is so tough that he just runs you over, and you're left seeing stars.
The fact now is that last year, for the numbers that he put up, what people don't realize is he wasn't the starter. And now he is the starter. He is the guy. I think he's only going to improve on his numbers. And
just as a reminder, Julius Jones
he was starting down the end of the stretch, and he had a huge game.
Yeah. But Julius Jones was a starter out of camp, and he's now in Seattle.
That's right. He's gone. He is a Seahawk now. Congratulations for him. Anyways, let's continue with your top 10. After Marion Barber, you've got a guy that I'm a little worried about taking.
Grandmama
Larry Johnson from Kansas City. Talk to us a little bit about him and why he's up there at seven above names like Frank Gore and Clint Portis.
Well, it's simply because when he's healthy, he can be dominant, and the Chiefs do not have anywhere near as tough a schedule as they had last year. Now, granted, their offensive line is getting a little bit older and is not quite as good, but they're going to feed him the ball. Herman Edwards just loves him. He's 100% healthy. He's looking good in the mini camps. You know, we're just starting training camp in another week or two. And he's set up for another big season if he can just stay healthy. And that's the reason why he's not in the top five, because he is coming off the foot injury and because they've got a little bit of a question mark at quarterback there. But this guy can dominate a game all by himself.
Yeah.
Used to be able to. Haven't seen it in a while.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see how he looks this preseason.
But I know this. Trent's going to be fine.
Is he 100% healthy, Larry Johnson, going into camp?
Yes, he is.
Yep, there you go. Yes, so I'm still – I don't know. Maybe it's just I've got this thing.
It's been
against.
So long.
But you know, the Chiefs had a great draft. They got some great players. Brandon Albert's going to come in to help the offensive line. I don't know. He may be someone to look for. Let's just say
I have so much confidence in him that in a current experts league that I'm drafting in right now, it's a 14-team league. I drafted in a number 10 hole. LJ slid to me at 10, and I had no hesitation to take him as my first pick.
All right. There you go. At 8, you have Frank Gore from San Francisco. This is a guy who last year a lot of people thought, woo, he's going to be great. And, not so
woo.
Much.
Well, he's coming off the ankle injury. You know, he's had issues with the ankle, whether he's going to play, he's going to practice, you know. And there is a little bit of a worry there. They're switching the, you know, pass first, Mike March. Of course, some people are saying, well, Frank Gore's just going to become the next Marshall Faulk. Well, he's not that quite adept at catching passes. But I think he will catch quite a bit more than he did last year. That offense is going to be better this year than it was last year. And so there's no reason not to think that Frank Gore is not a top 10 running back.
Okay.
And then we've got Clinton Portis out of the Washington Redskins.
Yep.
And speak to that.
It's Clinton Portis had one of his best off seasons in a long time. You know, he usually has problems with his knees, and I've kind of been a little bit down on him in the past. But the new regime over there now, they're not going to run heavy like they did, you know, almost every down under Joe Gibbs. But Jim Zorn really likes Clinton Portis. He's made it clear that this is not going to be a timeshare between him and Ladell Betts. Betts is going to be the backup and, you know, the keep fresh guy. And Portis is going to see the majority of the carries, probably, you know, 27, 30 carries a game. And I think they're going to have more of a downfield passing game. This is going to give Portis even more chances to score.
Great. Open
All
up
right.
some holes on
and
that line.
To finish off your top 10, starting the fourth tier of running backs from Baltimore, Willis McGahee. I really don't like Baltimore this year, and I just don't like.
You've never trusted McGahee. You didn't trust him in Buffalo. You don't trust him now.
Nope.
I mean, that's just the truth about Steven. I have always kind of been a McGahee fan and always believed that he is underperformed and is ready to break out at any moment.
Maybe it's because I keep hearing, you know, what you're talking about, Willis, from different strokes. I don't know.
Is that what goes through your head?
Yeah. What you talking about, Willis? Every time I see him, they give him the ball. What you talking about, Willis? I'm sorry.
But
that's just me, maybe.
Yeah. I think it is because I think he's a real talent.
Naz, do you and what Baltimore, numbers do you see him putting up this year?
Their own line is still very, very good.
Well, I'm just looking at, you know, while you guys are talking here, I was looking at his statistics from a couple of my fantasy leagues last year, and he was a number 8 running back.
Thank you. In
a non-PPR format last year. He's very, very consistent. I think what's going on here is that Steven's not seeing that he didn't pop very many times. In fact, in week 13, he scored over 20 points. And every other week, we're talking 10, 15, 11, 10, 13, 12, 12, 17, 12, 13, 18, 1, I'm sorry, 11, 4, 10, and then at the end of the season 1 when he got hurt. Now that's in a scoring system where you get 1 point for every 10 yards rushing and receiving. So he's always getting in the teens. And yep. That's about what you want from a running back that's ranked around number 10, 12, around that area. And he's probably one of the last running backs where you know he's going to get about 350-plus carries, and he'll have a few good games here and there. And he's got the possibility, to break out and have a three-touchdown game here and there. I mean, much like Jamal Lewis did last year, we wouldn't really expect it. If Baltimore just get him a little bit more scoring opportunities, his numbers are going to go up. And you know, but I still think he's a top 10 guy.
He only had 7 TDs last year because he plays for a team that offensively they're just not sexy. And I want sexy, man. I want my running back. 7 TDs
in a performance league when you run for what did he have 1,200 yards? 12-7.
Yeah.
There you go. How much pass receiving?
231.
Okay, that's top 10 material.
It sure is.
I'm like you, Steven. It's not flashy. It's not. It's certainly not somebody I want really number one. But I mean, if you're drafting 11th or 12th, you might end up looking at Willis McGahee, and that's why he's leading the fourth tier. He's not in the third.
I hope I am not staring at Willis McGahee when it comes my turn to draft.
Well, I know what's going to happen. Number one guy. You're going to step over him.
That's why they say, early on, actually, some leagues out there do what they call a third-round reversal. Now, I've never brought this up because I only seen it a couple of times online. It's something to counteract the effect, the LT effect, okay? I don't know if you guys heard about it. Break this news to everybody on the podcast here that actually some leagues do this. They go 1 through 12, 12 to 1. Then they go 12 to 1 again and back 1 to 12.
So a lot of
high-stakes leagues out there that charge $500, $1,000, $1,500. I know the NFFC does it, the National Championship Fantasy Football. They actually do the third round reversal, and so actually it kind of helps the players that are quote stuck drafting. Who do I pick? Marshawn Lynch or Willis McGahee is my number one running back, when most likely those guys are not going to score 20 plus touchdowns like maybe LT will, and so they get their third round pick at the start of the third round, whereas the guy that picked LT, when it comes back to him, he only gets one pick, then he's got to wait a whole other round to get his third pick.
Wow, that's pretty tough.
That is. Now, I've got
this is just cropped up here in the last couple of years online, and it's really been the only places I've really seen it is in the high-stakes leagues, and it's really been because why? The last two or three champions from all these contests have been LT owners.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I want to take us in the Wayback Machine. So hold on for the Wayback Machine, okay? All right, here we go. Okay, now we are back. The end of last fantasy football season. It is late December. Here is ESPN's points leaders for running backs. LT, Brian Westbrook, Joseph Addai, Adrian Peterson, Clinton Portis, Jamal Lewis, Marion Barber, Willis McGahee, Edgerrin James, Frank Gore, Ernest Graham.
Yeah.
That was a weird, weird list. It starts off totally normal. You go LT, Brian Westbrook, Joseph Addai, AP, Clinton Porter. Okay, that all makes sense. Jamal Lewis, Marion Barber. Okay. Willis McGahee, again, building the case for him. But then you go into the Edgerrin James, and you're like, I thought he was just like mailing it in now. And then you go Ernest Graham, and you're like, I know where Ernest Graham is on your list. I found him down near the bottom somewhere.
He's a graham cracker crust. He keeps getting hurt.
I don't even know if he made your top 50. No, he did. He made 30. He made number 30.
Him this year, though, because they got so many other running backs there now. And, they just re-signed Work Done, brought him back, and then they got Michael Bennett. And there was talk of them, signing Kevin Jones, and he ended up in Chicago. But Ernest Graham just signed an extension, but he signed, like, almost the worst deal I've ever seen because – he got like 4 years for $10-11 million, but he didn't get anything guaranteed. Ooh. He got a $1.5 million bonus signing up front, and then he makes $1 million and he's going to be on the team this year and make another $1 million. But they can cut him after that, and he doesn't get anything. So this is like, I mean, compared to the deal that Justin Fargus signed. combine before the Raiders drafted McFadden. I mean, Fargus got like $13 million with like six or seven of it guaranteed, you know, for I think 3 years. And I don't know where Ernest Grant, and Ernest Grant acted like he, I mean, he like held out of the mini camps and everything, and he was disgusted and everything. And I'm like, well, he obviously didn't have Mr. Rosenhaus as his agent.
Drew
because, you know, I know that Ryan Grant and Green Bay is probably going, oh, dude, man, why'd you do that? Why'd you sign that crappy deal? Because he could have gotten a lot better than that.
You got monkeys for that.
Yep.
When you go back to last year, you also got to remember there were some stud running backs that got some injuries or fell off the face of the planet, like Sean Alexander, Travis Henry, Larry Johnson with the foot injury. So, you know, and this led to the panic that, oh, my gosh, the stud running back theory is down the tubes because my stud running back got hurt or whatever. And it seems like it's almost like in cycles. Every 6 or 7 years, you get a year where 3 or 4 really big, high-profile running backs just either crap out or a couple of them get injured, you know, and everybody and then starts questioning this.
Ronnie Brown.
There is a little bit more running back by committee in the NFL, but there's really a top 10, 12, 14 guys there that are always going to enter the season as the guy for these teams. I just don't see the whole league going running back by committee.
And remember, Ronnie Brown, too, was starting to have a pretty great year up until before he got hurt. So
there you go. That's another guy.
You know what? Thank you for answering the question that I was just about to ask next, which was exactly that point, which is what's going on here and how reliable are these lists? Because for those of us that have only been playing fantasy football for 3 seasons or so, I don't see the consistency in the list. The list seems dangerous.
I will tell you, Jeff, who you should take as your number one running back.
T.J. Duckett. I know you.
T.J. Duckett.
I know you.
T.J. Duckett.
Because you're mean.
Who is not with
you're
Seattle.
Mean.
You should take T.J.
Duckett.
He's
the fifth running back in Seattle, I think.
Yeah, he might not be there much longer after training camp starts because there was a quote from Mike Holmgren going, well, then we got, let's see, where we're going to use a lot of Julius Jones, Maurice Morris is going to see a lot of time there, and then we have T.J. Duckett, and I just don't know where he fits.
Well, he's
you don't want your coach to say that about you, but the simple fact is that they gave him a significant bonus. I think it was $1 million or whatever. And so, you know, he's going to be on the team at least in a training camp. They're going to make him sweat for some of that money. But I think that among the first or second wave of cuts, unless they decide, and they don't seem to want to just hand him the short yardage role. Leonard Weaver's a fullback there. He's really good at that. And
Leonard
also catching
awesome.
Passes and everything. I think that T.J. Duckett is eventually going to end up cut. And it's kind of weird because he's the last 3 teams he's been with. They just don't know what to use, how to use him.
Yes. Yeah. And I think they convinced him that he's going to drive the lawnmower. And,
or something
and,
like
well,
that.
But here's the deal. They got field turf. And so they haven't told him that.
Okay, I will give you one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Brian Calhoun. That's who you should take.
Brian Calhoun. Okay.
How about Eric Shelton?
Well, I've got some questions about some guys myself.
All right, give us some questions. We got a few more minutes.
Ryan Terrain in Denver.
Uh-huh.
Why not?
Why not? I mean, you're right in the fact that, I mean, when with Mike Shanahan in there, if Selvin Young doesn't get off on the right track or starts fumbling the ball around and then they give a chance to Michael Pittman there that signed and he doesn't make too much progress, then, you know, Ryan Terrain might be the guy and it might be before week one. I mean, remember Mike Bell?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, well, he could be another Mike Bell, but Mike Bell didn't last too long there, did he?
Right. No, he didn't.
Remember Mike Anderson?
Yeah, he's gone too.
You know, Mike Anderson's out of a job now. Baltimore cut him at the end of last year, and I don't think he's in the league.
No, he's working at Midas down on 6th.
He's driving a taxi cab.
Ryan Terrain.
Who was it? It was the guy from Lewis, the returner for the Saints, who was driving a truck for a living or whatever, and
yeah,
then he ends up,
like
you know, being one of the top return men. He might not even be in the league anymore. That just shows you how short things. How a wide receiver, return man, running back, the life expectancy in the NFL is not too long at these positions.
Well, Sam
if
Gatto's
you're Jonathan Ogden, you can be a bull, you know, for like 10 years, and you know, but running back's different.
Sam Gatto still got a job, although he is at the very bottom of your list of backs. How does this guy do this? Can you just keep going year after year after year?
Sam Gatto.
Yes.
Well, let's see. You turn in one halfway decent performance for the Packers.
Right.
And then you live off that for years and years and years. And why? Because you're a good practice player. You do what the coaches say. You actually block, and you actually look halfway decent in practice.
When
people are really only going at you maybe three quarters away because you're on the same team.
Okay.
One more question before we let you go here with running backs. In Oakland, what do you do with Justin Fargas now that we pretty much believe Darren McFadden is going to be the guy?
Well, McFadden may be the guy. I'm not even sure if he's going to start the season, though, because he's a rookie. They might give that role to Justin Fargas. It's eventually going to become McFadden's job, but they don't want to overuse McFadden. They like the explosiveness. So anytime he starts getting winded on the field, they're going to pull him out and put Justin Fargas in there. I remember they cut Dominic Rhodes, who ended up signing with the Colts, and they still have Lamont Jordan, but he's not going to play for them because basically they told him, don't show up to minicamp. We don't want you getting injured. And, Al Davis just doesn't want Lamont Jordan signing with Denver and seeing him start against the Raiders. And so they've been trying to trade him, even though he really doesn't have any kind of trade value. And so they can hold him for a while, and they'll probably end up cutting him, either that or trading him to somebody for a conditional seventh rounder. His career basically is over. But Justin Fargas should have a pretty good role there in Oakland. Let's just compare him to Chester Taylor. Not quite as a bruiser there, but a little bit more faster, smaller back. But I think the roles might be very similar there.
Interesting.
You might get Justin Fargas starts as a starter, and you get McFadden, and then McFadden takes over. So I guess in this way, you can kind of make a comparison between Minnesota's running game and Oakland's
running
game.
And Oakland's, yeah.
All right, cool. There you go. The only other running backs that are on the same team, which I'm not sure which one I like better, is in Jacksonville, where you got Maurice Jones-Drew and of course, the ever-injured man Fred Taylor.
Well, Fred Taylor, it's been a while since he's been injured, but last year he definitely had a renaissance season. I kind of compare it to the Curtis Martin year. Remember about a year before, he just ended up really struggling and, of course, having the knees injuries and everything. I think Fred Taylor's maybe good for another year or two at most in the league.
Yeah, he came in 14th
in
scoring.
You're going to start a transition more towards MJD, as we like to call him. On the site, and obviously a lot of people like to take MJD early in the second round, middle of the second round as their second running back, and Taylor is lasting until the sixth, seventh round as the number three running back on a lot of players' teams. He doesn't catch many passes, and a lot of the success he had last year was off long runs, and he's just getting older, and there's going to be less and less long runs, more and more stuffs and 1 and 2 and 3 yard gains. And, he'll still probably be a halfway decent contributor this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't rush for 1,000 yards.
All right. That's good stuff. Jeffrey,
I would totally agree. You know, he actually outrushed Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yes, he does.
He had 1,202 yards and Maurice Jones-Drew had 768. It's on the receiving end of the ball. That Maurice Jones-Drew schooled him something fierce.
They love MJD in the passing game down there. They just throw the ball out to him in a flat 80. I mean, there were a lot of times there where Fred was just playing on first downs. And if it was second and 12, they pull him out of the game and put MJD in there.
That's all I got, though, in the running back department. I think we've thoroughly covered it.
All right. Anything else you want to throw in there, Naz?
No, other than the fact that we're going to be working hard to get this guide updated, and it's going to go well over 300 pages by this Friday. And training camps begin next week.
Woo-hoo!
And that means the whole push is going to begin, and we're going to be working our butts off every single week. And I'll be back here on the podcast and then the next day working hard on the guide. And it's just going to begin the whole process. But I'm really looking forward to the fantasy season.
Do you want to drive out to Oxnard? It's really nice. It's cool. I mean, it's like 72 degrees cool.
Cowboys camp
really?
Will be there.
Cowboys camp in Oxnard. Yeah.
Joining
Friday,
Cowboys.
July 25th.
Yep. Thursday, July 25th.
Thursday.
Well, I have to check my schedule. Thursday?
Is it Thursday or Friday?
I know that Friday actually is not good for me because my wife and I are going to take one last little getaway for a couple days that weekend.
Before she loses
Lake
you for the season.
Yeah, that's going to be it. Then maybe
see you
I might
January, see you in January, honey.
That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes.
The
he
life
works
of
like
a fantasy footballer. Once again, Mike Nazarek, thanks so much for being with us from Fantasy Football Masterminds. Find him on the web at ffmastermind.com. You've got your discount codes there. Go out and pick up one of their packages, and you will have truly
the Mastermind Edge.
All right, so that was episode 2.03. We just analyzed the running back situation. Gave you Naz's top 10 running backs. That's pretty good stuff.
Hope you liked it.
And next week, we'll come at you where we analyze the wide receivers.
Steven, go deep.
And Jeffrey.
Yeah.
The question will be,
yeah,
Randy Moss or T.O.?
That's easy. But you got to listen next week
there
to find
you
the
go.
Answer.
All right. This has been Steven Miranda.
And Jeff Ellis.
For Fantasy Football Rants and Raves. Good night.